The Around the NFL Podcast has 99 problems, but free agency ain't one.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I am joined by a room filled with heroes, Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling, and Greg Rosenthal. What's up, boys?
Hey, Dan.
Uh-oh.
Emergency podcast.
Why? Because we were supposed to come back Wednesday, because we did a show yesterday. I hope you listened to it. Very important that you listen to it. But then, like 90% of the essential free agent. Greg, would you mind sitting down?
You know, you can.
Making us all uncomfortable.
You can continue with the show and not even alert the listeners to me putting on the television.
Well, Mark was definitely stunned by it, and that caught my attention. Greg standing up, walking around.
It was a real rapport builder.
Wednesday at 1 p.m., as we said, and as you probably know, is the official start of free agency, but everybody's coming off the board unofficially official, and that's why, even though this was supposed to be a day off for the podcast.
No days off! No days off! No days off!
Worst chant in chant history.
No days off! No days off.
Weirdly, one of the low moments of the Patriots dynasty, even though it came during a celebration.
So what is today's show? Today's emergency podcast. Figure it out. I mean, what are you, dense, bro? We're going to go through all the signings, including the quarterback market, which has fallen. The dominoes fell quickly, and maybe not the first domino you expected to fall, but everything is pretty much coming into focus now. So let's get into it. Let's go. We'll just call it the big news rundown. Big old news
Why
rundown.
Not?
You good, Greg?
I'm hoping we get some more breaking news during the show.
Maybe. I mean, I would assume we do get it.
This thing's gonna. Are we taping again tomorrow?
Of course.
Ooh,
big week.
Tomorrow is the so-called free agency frenzy. They're only off by roughly 45, 50 hours.
So let's start with quarterbacks, because it is good to be a quarterback, especially one that's like top 15, top 16 in the league. Kirk Cousins signs, or is likely to sign, or has agreed to sign with the Minnesota Vikings. The favorite going into this week is the team that comes out with Kirk Cousins, a deal worth 3 years that includes approximately $86 million, and this is what makes it a historic deal in the NFL. All of that money guaranteed. And his per-year average salary of $27.5 million just tops Jimmy Garoppolo, making Kirk Cousins the most, the highest-paid player in the history of the NFL for the time being. Mark, we'll start with you on this. You were up early before the sun rose writing about Kirk Cousins picking his new home.
I think the unprecedented nature of the contract mirrors the unprecedented nature of the situation, that it's so rare that you get this type of player that goes to market that it was the only way to compete for him, whether you were the Vikings or the Jets with the most money. And they talked about the Jets offering more, so Kirk Cousins had obviously a preference here. And it started out as, hey, we don't know, this might be what happens. And then an hour later, as every other team circles the wagons, and we'll get to it, starts finding out other quarterback situations. Barring something stunning, Kirk Cousins has essentially been handed to the Vikings. And we talked about this yesterday, Dan. That we didn't know who he was going to visit first. But had he gone to the Jets, they could not let him out of the building. And that's essentially what the Vikings were given, that privilege to go first and to lure him in and to keep him.
Well, what if he changed his mind?
But he could. He has nowhere left.
But he has nowhere left to go, because every other team is basically starting to move on, unless the Jets did it. Because he's made it clear to the reporters, at least, that he wants to get the feel of it and have dinner and do the whole thing and feel good about it. But all the other teams have essentially said, well, we can't wait around.
Seems like nonsense. Do you think there's any chance, though, that do you feel like the Jets acted too quickly in finding plan B, or is it just that this is your only option?
Well, they haven't officially done anything either, so they could always be there. And in theory, before Wednesday, and it's worth noting, it's not going to happen with Cousins, I don't think, but it's worth noting that multiple times in this free agency era, we have reported on agreed contracts And in that time before free agency actually starts, another team says, actually, will you take way more money? Please come with us. And the guy changes his mind. It's happened, but it would be insane if it happened.
It's probably not going to happen because Ian Rappaport's reporting now that the Jets, who are the only logical team left in the race, are negotiating with Teddy Bridgewater. And Wes, I know you are a big Kirk Cousins fan. I immediately pivoted. I had my premonition about hugging Kirk Cousins. Apparently, that doesn't always check out. But I immediately pivoted into a conversation with Keith Hanzus about how this is, we dodged a bullet here. And now what we're going to do is we're going to take all this money, put it elsewhere, and go get a quarterback that will be a star for 15 years. Are the Vikings going to – are they a better team now, in your opinion?
Yes, absolutely. I think Kirk Cousins, over what he's – the improvement he's shown over the last couple of years has really impressed me. I've changed my opinion on him and Sam Bradford as much as any two quarterbacks in the league. And it's both of their ability to stand in the face of pressure and make throws. And Kirk Cousins did that last year with some pretty poor surrounding talent. I love the fit. He's durable. He's productive. This team is ready to go. And by the way, Greg, as if this deal wasn't already arranged 3 weeks ago.
Hmm.
When Mike Zimmer's up in front of everybody at the Combine throwing Case Keenum under the bus saying, oh, he's never had a year like this before, or saying we don't really, you know, Sam Bradford this and that, Teddy. Like, they didn't know this deal was already going to happen.
But then do we have to suppose that the Jets knew this was in place too? Because the Jets, I mean, whether it came from inside the team or not, sure made it sound like they wanted Kirk Cousins more than 3 weeks ago.
The Cardinals were hopeful as of 24 hours ago, so they didn't know. The Broncos, Ian and Mike Garofolo reported, they wanted Kirk Cousins. They
never seemed like they were all in.
They realized it wasn't going to be at their price and that the Broncos weren't necessarily their first choice. And that's why that's great John Elway can, you know, convince a Hall of Famer like Peyton Manning. But ultimately, it's up to the players, and there's a million factors. It's a lot of pressure on John DeFilippo, I think, to construct the right offense around Kirk Cousins. He's got two great receivers, a good offensive line, a good running back. There's a lot to work with. But I think Cousins had good coordinators in Washington that helped hide some of his flaws because he's not a totally complete quarterback. He's not great improvising after a play breaks down. He doesn't have a monster arm. He can certainly get it down the field. And so it's on DeFilippo and kind of a new group to make an offense around Cousins, and the expectations will be that they need to go to the Super Bowl this year.
They are, but they would have been a bigger challenge to construct an offense around lesser
absolutely, and that's why it makes sense. It makes sense for Cousins. It just is. It's crazy to me. It's not crazy to me, but a top 10 quarter, not necessarily a top 10 quarterback. I thought he might get even more money than this.
It does. It makes sense for Cousins. He's 30 years old, 3-year deal with a team that's ready to win in the Vikings. He could have went to the Jets for more money, but the Jets are probably a 3-year project. And then it lined up well, so it all makes sense. But we'll see now because. I was texting with a Vikings fan buddy who said, well, we'll see if they're actually better because it's going to be hard for Cousins to have the year Case Keenum had last year. That was a special season in Minnesota, and they couldn't get over the hump. Cousins has to be at least that good, you'd think, for them to take the next step. So there's a lot of pressure on him, too. My God, it's a lot of money. And it should be pointed out before we move on, because we've got to keep moving, that a fully guaranteed deal can change the landscape of the NFL potentially for players, quarterbacks especially. I heard someone say out there that watch Aaron Rodgers get 3 for $100 guaranteed. This is baseball stuff now that never was connected to the NFL. So Cousins, and I'm trying to think, there was a player in the NFL.
I mean,
Doug Baldwin Jr. said Kirk Cousins is a hero for what he did. He sat it out, he waited it out 2 years and then did something that no one ever did before, and it could open the gates for other people.
I don't think other positions are going to have that kind of leverage. Really, the leverage is that it's only 3 years and he gets to max out his money and go back into free agency again in 3 years, because Ndamukong Suh just got $60 million guaranteed over 3 years and then you get cut. Now the team has no option to keep him after 3 years, and he'll get paid a bigger contract in 3 years.
Kirk has explaining to do, though, because his sister, who lives in Arizona in the Phoenix area, choose to go.
When you're getting paid almost $30 million a year,
there.
You can probably fly your sister wherever she likes.
Buy her a house in Minnesota.
You can buy her a jet to fly to Minnesota.
Moving on, Drew Brees not going anywhere, despite the report on Monday that the Vikings We're kicking the tires on the 39-year-old future Hall of Famer. The Saints and Breeze do what everyone expected, which was sit down and get it done. The team on Tuesday struck a two-year deal with the quarterback worth $50 million. This one includes $27 million in guarantees. I guess when you're almost 40, you can't pull that same type of leverage. The 30-year-old does, but still, Drew Breeze did very well for himself. Breeze was number two on our top 101 list. Chris Wesley.
Rough 24 hours for the corner of Twitter who insisted NFL players will never take less than maximum value on a contract. Drew Brees, reportedly by Mike Triplett of ESPN.com, had another offer that was more than $60 million guaranteed over 2 years.
I want to know who that is. It's either the Jets or the Vikings.
I would go right? Vikings, but
so
Vikings he took
sense.
33 less million guaranteed.
33.
He got $27 million guaranteed, and he was offered $60 million guaranteed, according to this report. So that is a whopping $33 million he's passing up in guarantees,
well, and,
according to the reports.
Yeah, and to that report, Breeze, unlike, calling Kirk Cousins a hero for his actions, Breeze outwardly apologized to other players for accepting this deal, and he apologized to his agent because, as an NFLPA,
voice spin, baby, spin.
I'm not spinning.
He basically told his agent, "Sit this one out, buddy."
This was not how you do it.
Well,
so that's a very different deal.
They still use the agent, who's Tom Condon, who got Sam Bradford paid, has gotten Peyton Manning, Matthew Stafford, all these quarterbacks paid. They still used every leverage possible to get the Saints to pay more money than they were willing to pay initially. The Saints were reportedly steadfast in not paying Breeze more money than he made last year, where it was $24.5 million, and they got him over that hurdle. That seemed crazy that was their opinion. We heard all these reports he's going to take 20 to 25. He gets more. Start building the statue now. I mean, why even wait?
And Drew Brees knows exactly what he's doing.
Right.
He knows how to massage the message. Drew just wants to make sure he has the biggest statue outside the Superdome. Oh, I left 33 mil on the table because I lock it down by the bayou, and I'm just a normal guy. I'm cool. That's what it's all about. He wants a bigger statue than his buddy.
He wants to win a Super Bowl.
Go win another Super Bowl.
Well, yeah, he could have went to Minnesota, hypothetically, and had just as good a chance.
What about the Kobe Fleener statue? That's going to be sizey.
That's going to get torn down like the Confederate statues in New Orleans.
Okay.
Whoa.
What?
Jeez.
Strong.
So they're going to build it, erect it, and then tear it.
These are facts that happened in the news, guys.
You're presupposing that a Case Keenum or a Kobe Fleener statue will be erected.
And you're equating Kobe Fleener to a historical wrong. So, okay.
Okay.
I mean, it's definitely not at the same level, but signing Kobe Fleener was a historical wrong.
Moving on, another quarterback move. This was actually, that's fair. The first quarterback domino to fall, and it happened in the middle of the night. Case Keenum is going to sign with the Denver Broncos. So John Elway, who in the very beginning, everyone connected the Broncos and Kirk Cousins, but it became very clear that the Broncos were just another player, not the lead dog. So what does he do? He pivots and instead of waiting around, goes and gets Case Keenum. And Keenum was number eight on our top 101 list. And he also is coming off a career year. Greg, do you think Case Keenum will be able to match what he did last year in Denver?
No, because the offensive line's going to be worse. The running game will probably be worse. The receivers are certainly talented in Denver, and the defense is fine. But I don't really expect Case Keenum to play that well maybe ever again, because I think that was a magical season where a lot of things came together. He makes the Broncos better, but I don't think it's going to prevent them from going after a quarterback, maybe with the fifth overall pick. It shouldn't, at least.
That would give him – he would be playing in front of two first-round picks, which is unusual.
I think he might have been plan C in Denver. I think, according to Garofolo, Tyrod Taylor might have been plan B, and the Browns jumped in on that. And Cousins was plan A, and they wanted to make sure at least they got a guy they were comfortable with that was with Gary Kubiak.
I don't love this deal.
This is a rough day for Broncos fans. When you spent all offseason hearing – your team's players pitch woo at Kirk Cousins, from Von Miller to Aqib Talib to Brandon Marshall, all these guys publicly saying how much they want Kirk Cousins, who would have been an upgrade. Now, maybe Case Keenum is more reliable than Trevor Siemian, more healthy than Trevor Siemian. Nobody at this time last year was saying Case Keenum's a better quarterback than Trevor Siemian.
No, and we spent all last offseason hearing a lot of hot air out of that organization about how much confidence there was in Trevor Siemian, and to the point where it was just becoming a little absurd on our network, and we're about to enter into that with Case Keenum almost seamlessly. And it's not to take anything away from what Keenum did last year, but Greg is right. The idea that you're going to step in and duplicate that campaign 2 years in a row? No.
He's the one contract that hasn't been reported, though, and that usually means it's not very good for the player. So if ultimately they couldn't get Kirk Cousins because they didn't want to pay that, or Cousins didn't want to go there, and we find out this deal is pretty low and it's just a one-year deal, which is basically what I expect, maybe in the anywhere from 14 to 17 million, I mean, it's fine. They had to do something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I can't kill them for that. It's just not exciting.
The first thing I thought when I heard this deal was they're obviously going quarterback at number five overall now, because you don't have the luxury of going offensive line with that pick, because Case Keenum is not a reliable franchise quarterback.
The top of this quarterback of this draft class, it's going to be crazy now, because the Broncos are still going to be players. The Jets now are going to be something close to a desperate player at this point. Big Mac now needs to get a young quarterback.
And the Bills are trying to trade in front of both of them.
And the Bills now have moved to 12.
I could see the Bills getting to number three.
Someone's going to trade with the Colts is my guess.
Yep.
Because someone is going to blow the Colts away, unless the Colts are absolutely in love with this Chubb guy or somebody else that they won't move. But
and then not to come back to the Jets, Dan, I don't mean to, but the one thing that some of these other teams have done who need quarterbacks is over the past couple seasons effectively stockpile draft picks, and the Jets do not have that ammunition. They had money.
Right.
They don't have ammunition.
And that's why, I think that's why their plan A was Cousins, because it's set up better for where they were. But they're still at six, which is not a terrible place to be. They could, if you're the Browns at four, or if you're the Colts at three, if you have a chance to trade back with the Jets, you're still sitting at six, and you could still get somebody you really want. If you trade back with the Bills, you might get a little bit more of a haul, but you got to wait. So it's going to be fascinating how it plays out. It's going to be a game of musical chairs. There's four top names in the quarterback market in the draft, and there are five teams that really need a quarterback. So
somebody's screwed.
Probably will be the Jets. That's my prediction.
Well,
by the way,
I don't know.
I could give
you another contender.
I know how this S works. Moving on. If the Browns cannot screw themselves,
they might.
Well, they have to really try.
Oh,
hard
they could.
To do it.
They'll take a running back and then trade down to 12, and even Lamar Jackson will get picked ahead of them, and they'll wind up with a right tackle.
And cut to the Hugh Jackson press conference saying that Tyrod Taylor is moving
there
the ground
go.
Beneath his feet. Don't think it will happen. Another quarterback comes off the board, and another sandwich prop victory for the old Zeuser. Sam Bradford will sign with the Arizona Cardinals, a one-year, $20 million deal. And I'm not saying that's a bad contract for the Cardinals, and I understand why Bradford can command that, but has any player in the history of the NFL made more money for doing less than Sam Bradford? I like Sam Bradford as a player, but this guy is making bank his whole career. What has he done?
I think it's going to turn out to be one of those phony deals where it's really one for 15, because that's what's guaranteed, and then he's getting...
Even that's a lot of money. I don't know.
That's a lot. That's
what are your alternatives?
That's the price. I think that's about what Keenum will get. That's kind of the price for the quarterback that's a short-term solution. And to me, he's the biggest boom or bust guy of all these quarterbacks. Cause
more than Teddy?
Yes, because...
Your boy?
Yes, because I think if he's actually healthy, he's ready to go. And he could be an average to above average starter right now. But there's absolutely no way to tell what his degenerative knee is going to do.
I can't disagree with that. But if your alternatives are Mike Glennon and A.J. McCarron, pay him as much as it takes to get him in there, especially when this is allegedly Larry Fitzgerald's swan song. You're not going to want to watch Larry Fitzgerald catching passes from Mike Glennon for an entire season.
And they're not done.
Out the door.
They've said for months, we're going to get quarterbacks in multiple ways. They're another one of those draft eligibles. Just a note, Dan, you did get your proposition right. Mm-hmm. The sandwich prop, which said that the Cardinals would sign a 2017 Vikings quarterback. However,
yes.
It did not entice anyone to take you up
no.
on it. So,
really?
I didn't make sandwiches.
Right.
But I have a chance to get three props right.
We will get to that a little later.
Impressive. Which is unprecedented. It's kind of like getting all guaranteed money.
One last thing on this deal. The Cardinals can't be done yet. Their offensive line was terrible last year. Beyond Larry Fitzgerald, all they have is question marks at wide receiver. He's not exactly set up for success there.
No, not at all. I mean, putting Bradford behind that line is going to be trouble.
Whoever, put it this way. Whoever else gets signed, whether it's Mike Glennon or a quarterback that gets drafted in the first or second round or whatever they do, is probably going to see some time next season.
Josh Allen starting by week 5 in Arizona.
That's your quarterback update. the musical chairs. Let's move on now to the Kansas City Chiefs, who continue to act aggressively following their one-and-done playoff ouster. They have a new quarterback, of course, in Patrick Mahomes. And now they add another weapon in the name of Sammy Watkins, heading to the Chiefs on a 3-year deal. This is a big one. This is a whopper. We talked about this coming into heading into free agency, Mark. Would Sammy clean up again despite another guy that doesn't have a huge track record of production? But he got a monster deal, expected to be worth up to $48 million with $30 million guaranteed at signing per rap sheet. Mm. You like this move, Mark?
Well, I mean, I like the idea of the Chiefs. The Chiefs telecast this at the Combine, that they were absolutely all in on adding starting wide receiver talent to pair with Tyreek Hill. The rap sheet had an interesting report how at the Combine, people were coming up to me like, have you watched like this film that Chiefs officials are showing of Patrick Mahomes, various practice stuff that they've seen behind? They are all in on Patrick Mahomes, and I like teams when whether it's Trubisky in Chicago or whether it's Mahomes in Kansas City, where you're going to give, like they did to Carson Wentz last year, everything you possibly can to make him successful, and they pried him away from the Rams. Why not? And it's to me, Sammy Watkins is a guy who's now making money, and he's on his third team in 12 months. He's not my favorite receiver on the planet, but if he stays healthy, why not?
I like the fact that despite the money, he's part of a greater whole. He's not the focus of the offense. When you have Tyreek Hill and Kareem Hunt and Travis Kelce, you're only going to produce so much, and you're only going to be counted on to get 8 or 9 targets in a game so often. It's not going to be every game. So that's a great fit for him. And there are a lot of people that say he was open all the time last year, and the Rams couldn't get him the ball. He's obviously talented. And now this is a team in the Chiefs that a year ago at this time, we were annoyed how much they were in prime time, and we ended up being a little wrong because they were very entertaining, I would say, in their games. But now put them on all the prime time. Mahomes, yeah, and this crew, sign me up. I mean, I'm looking forward to this Chiefs team.
It was just a few years ago we were bemoaning the lack of playmakers there. You kept hearing that stat about the Chiefs wide receivers and no touchdowns.
I never heard that, actually.
Yeah.
No, zero touchdowns, like,
yeah, last season? The Fitzpatrick Harvard thing of
crazy
that year. And now look at the speed they have. Hill, Watkins, Chris Conley, Kelsey's one of the fastest tight ends.
It's a lot to deal with, and Andy Reid calling the shots.
Their offense will look much different this year.
They're a very exciting team. I was going to say they could be a buzzy Super Bowl team, but you have no idea how the quarterback is going to perform. We just know that everyone thinks the world of him.
I also don't have much faith in their defense as it stands, and I don't know if they're going to spend on their defense.
Speaking
they don't have
defense,
any players,
right,
really.
Right. Anthony Hitchens has joined the defense. The Chiefs plan to sign the former Cowboys linebacker to a deal worth $9 million per season per rap sheet in Tom Pelissero. That was the number 50 player in your free agency top 101. So you guys obviously are not in love with him down in the lab, but it's another name in that D.
Well, they've now got two inside linebackers who are prototypical run stuffers and have questionable pass coverage skills. And him and Reggie Ragland. So I don't know how great of a fit it is. I guess Bob Sutton knows a lot more about that than I do.
Moving on, the Chicago Bears have had a hole at wide receiver since Alshon Jeffrey left town. They have now filled that hole with Allen Robinson, who signs a 3-year deal worth $42 million, roughly $25 million guaranteed. Good money, that from Rap Sheet, for the man that was number 3 in the top 101. Greg, Allen Robinson tore his ACL in the first game of the season in 2017, did not have a good 2016 statistically. So to get a multi-year contract with $25 million guaranteed, that's pretty good business for him.
The receivers got paid in this market. Even if you were coming off a down year like Watkins or an ACL like Robinson, and suddenly Mitchell Trubisky looks like he has a fun group of weapons. You add tight end Trey Burton. Okay, that's fun. You have Robinson in place, and then we also have some breaking news in the mix. And the Bears agree to terms with Taylor Gabriel live on the show. Wow. At least the Bears will be a little more watchable. They got Matt Nagy calling.
You know, they'll get 3 primetime games before October.
3 to 6 primetime games.
This
for
is
sure.
2018's Jared Goff. Mitch Trubisky's the big winner of free agency here. Get Allen Robinson. Taylor Gabriel now in the hands of an offensive mind who knows how to use him after Steve Sarkisian went a whole year without getting him the ball. I like this game. I like this the way this team is shaping up.
How they really have followed this Rams model. They got rid of the older coach that was defensive-minded. They brought in an offensive-minded guy. Now they're building around the quarterback. Why not? It's a sensical model.
You had to. I mean, their offense, they were injured last year too, but they were impossible to watch outside of the running back group, and Trubisky was held hostage by that group of skill position players. So what else do you do with a second-year quarterback?
And I think the Rams and the Chiefs are having an impact on the league, and the Eagles. Like, these are all spread them out, fast players in space, ball down the field, just in shotgun, throw the ball. You suddenly look at the Bears. They're a lot like the Chiefs last year. You have Gabriel and Robinson as the speed guys on the outside, and Burton as the move tight end. You have Tariq Cohen, who can do some similar things as Tyreek Hill and also is a very dynamic running back. And you have a running back in Jordan Howard. I mean, this is going to be a fun team to watch.
Another team that will be fun to watch, always are, with Aaron Rodgers involved, but they continue to look for a long-term solution, a tight end, and Jimmy Graham. Formerly of the Seahawks, is now a Packer. He agreed to a 3-year contract to join Green Bay. A bit of a surprise because earlier Tuesday it seemed like the reunion with the Saints was going to happen, but apparently those talks broke down, and Green Bay and Goody, mein guter Gunst, pounced, bringing in Graham, 31 years old. We've talked about him a lot on the show, how he's not the same guy anymore, but perhaps, Wes, he gives them obviously a big red zone threat now, a guy that still finds the end zone, but maybe don't expect him to average 15 yards a catch this year.
Yeah, Mike McCarthy has spoken several times in the last couple of years about the need on that team for a seam-stretching tight end and a red zone threat. They never really had one. They tried to get that with Martellus Bennett. I think Jimmy Graham still has enough left in the tank to play that role. Mm. And I'd love to see Aaron Rodgers and Jimmy Graham on the same page. That would be nice.
Well, if he ever is going to do it, it's going to be with Aaron Rodgers. Or Drew Brees, where the Saints were reportedly interested, and now the Saints don't end up getting Jimmy Graham back. I mean,
I'm kind of glad he's not going back to the Saints.
Yeah, me too.
I didn't need to see that. It didn't end. It ended a little bit ugly. And, like, let's put him in Green Bay and let's have one of these tight ends work out in Green Bay and give Aaron Rodgers something that, you know, 20 other quarterbacks have.
It's true. When you can finally, you know, get Graham to the offensive fire show that Joe Philbin brings, you got to do it.
Oh, are we down on the Packers offense now?
No, I love Aaron Rodgers.
I mean, Philbin was part of that offense for years before he flamed out in Miami.
And I'm still down on their coaching staff.
I saw Joey Phibbs in the hallway at the Combine.
Electricity.
And I got to say, I just like, after he walked by and I looked down at his shoes and I got perfectly tied, I smiled. Because Joe Feldman just is kind of funny to me.
Survivor.
So Jimmy Graham. And, yeah, it's weird. Aaron Rodgers, who's one of the greatest quarterbacks ever, I feel like he's been dancing around like a tight end he could count on for years. Jared Cook was almost that guy. Martellus Bennett should have been that guy. He's not that guy. Now Jimmy Graham is potentially a guy. Now, Packers had to make a move, they decided. And this one surprises me. Jordy Nelson. Jordy Nelson has been shown the door. Nelson, who, of course, for years was a stud, Aaron Rodgers' favorite target, a guy that won a Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers. But he started to slow down, Wes. It seemed that he had slowed down. But at the same time, he didn't really crater until Aaron Rodgers exited the team last year to injury. I thought we were going to get a chance to see if they get the magic back, but the Packers decide they got to move.
Yeah, it's amazing how fast things change in the NFL. It was just 2 years ago. 2016, he led the NFL in touchdowns. That was coming off the ACL injury. You could tell he wasn't as fast anymore, even though they had a nice connection in the red zone. And that caught up to him last year when it was easy to see early in the season that Devontae Adams had already replaced him as the number one receiver.
I think choosing Randall Cobb over Jordy Nelson makes sense to me. Choosing Brian Bulaga, who was reportedly, you know, could be asked to take a pay cut over Jordy Nelson, makes sense to me. Like, there are tough decisions, but I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to be happy. Aaron Rodgers has kind of become a little surly about things going on in Green Bay, and I like hearing his voice. I mean, you could even see it today on Twitter. He essentially congratulated Casey Hayward, the cornerback who left town, almost calling out the Packers' previous regime, who just thought he was a nickel guy, and then retweeted his teammate David Bakhtiari, who said, "Loyalty is in your actions, not in your rhetoric." And I think that's about, you know, the Packers being able to keep keep the players that Aaron Rodgers likes, and I'm sure cutting Jordy Nelson is not going to be a popular move.
Sounds like a healthy stew.
So there you go. The Jordy Nelson era is over. Just out of curiosity, boys, scientists, I'm down in the lab, too. I'll move some beakers around.
If I yeah. can.
Bunsen burner turns on every once in a while. Remember that thing that you go to light the Bunsen burner? It'd be like that.
Yeah.
With the spark?
Yeah.
I'll help you guys.
We appreciated the flavored water that you brought down today. I mean, that's always a good way to
enjoyed it?
Ingratiate yourself.
I put saline drops in it for you guys. to make you have diarrhea.
Okay.
That was weird.
That was
strange. I wish the listeners could have seen the strange face Dan was making that I tried to avoid.
So, Jordy Nelson. My question was, where would he fall in your top 101 entering this week?
I'm currently looking at our list.
He's got to be like 3 or 4 at this point.
I'm just curious if this happened last week.
We're not taking players off, so we're just updating it with the signings.
What a scrap heap.
I would put him above Mike Wallace.
So that's what we're talking.
In the early 60s.
Yeah, I was thinking a little lower, but not much. Probably around 70. So the happy medium might be in.
Still, it feels like the name alone will get people to come after him.
Time's a mark.
I think he's fine. He's in multiple.
Why are you directing that at Mark specifically?
Wow.
Oh, well, you're the one that he's trying to make between us.
You were not pointing that at me, Dan. I didn't take it that way.
All right. Nice try, Greg.
Greg is rabble-rousing.
Drink some of that flavored
water. Post show.
Slug that down.
Oh, Mark knows. Time's a b-
for you too, buddy. It's coming for you as well.
Andrew Norwell. Let's move on.
Good boy.
what did he just say?
Andrew, he said, time's coming for you too, big boy. He's saying you're going to die.
Cute boy. Little cute boy in his little blazer over here.
Cute boy. That's I thought he said.
Cute boy.
I'll take that.
It's a relative of Fallout Boy.
Greg is wearing a suit.
I mean, whenever I can get Sessler to call me something my mom probably did when I was 4, I'm all in.
Nice. Oh, that was the effect. Yeah, I was going for that.
Is Greg wearing a suit? He did a network hit that caused us to have to wait to start
the show. Thank you very much. Here with NFL.com's Greg Rosenthal. NFL.com.
I'll never forget. Amber Theo Harris. Are you guys making fun of me? She came after
me. Oh, she was so mystified.
Studio, and then I had to explain it to her.
She's doing a great job this week on air for hour.
A lot of network content.
I can't wait till Greg has handlers.
Is it coming? How close are we to handlers for Greg?
I mean, I'm at NFL.com's Greg Rosenthal. That's a long way away.
The Jacksonville Jaguars have targeted and successfully targeted a big piece in the middle of their offensive line. Andrew Norwell expected to sign with the Jags, according to sources informed of the deal, that from Rap Sheet. The deal, 5 years and $66.5 million, $30 million guaranteed. That is the leader in the clubhouse, along with Sammy Watkins, for most guaranteed money. That is the trifecta for the Zeuser in his predictions.
Do you get it if
that
it's
holds.
A tie?
Yeah, so it's a tie
it
works
most?
Here?
Well, is it the most?
No, not
simple
technically, because Sammy Watkins says the most then.
No, they both have the most.
No one has more than them, which means they have the most.
Right. Wes, thank you for bringing
it
some
it feels like a semantics-heavy argument, but we know better not to argue with Dan.
You always have to specify, ahead of time.
Now, if he made if he had $29 million guaranteed.
Greg's digging in.
And stunner. Drink some of that water, Greg. If he had 29 and Watkins had 30, yeah.
So if eight players have 30, do you feel like you in the spirit of your
of course.
Okay.
Is it the most?
Okay.
I mean, you guys are barking up the wrong tree on this one. That's all I'm going to say.
I agree with you.
Yeah, I don't. I'm not going to fight it because it's bad podcast.
I think it's fine.
Moving on. So Norwell gets that money as it made sense that he would. Interior lineman, any lineman gets paid. And the Jags, though, kind of a surprise team. The Giants and some other teams were rumored to be getting Norwell, but he goes to the Jags.
I find it really interesting. They did not pay Allen Robinson, but they decided to pay Andrew Norwell, kind of doubling down on the we're a tough running team, Leonard Fournette, that's our MO. But they also give Marquise Lee a very attractive contract, 4 years, $38 million, including $18 million guaranteed. My guess is they didn't expect the secondary wide receiver market to be as good as it was, because that's a lot of money for Marquise Lee when you're letting Allen Robinson walk.
The one thing they keep, I've heard this now on Network 2 over and over, now the Jags are like dug in on being a ground-oriented team. Well, okay, not surprising to begin with, but isn't a good guard for the most part? Isn't this player, I mean, he helps them in the passing game as much as he helps them as a run team.
I don't think people are paying any guard that much money for pass protection. I think they're paying them for the running.
I don't think it means that they're simply a one-dimensional football team based on getting offensive line help.
Moving on, another quarterback, a bit of quarterback news. Josh McCown is back with the Jets, agrees to a one-year deal with the team. So that makes a lot of sense for both sides. He had a great year in New York before suffering that thumb injury that ended his season in December. But he is a perfect bridge/mentor guy. So don't take that to mean Teddy Bridgewater is no longer in the picture. They could end up with both those guys and draft a quarterback. They're doing a complete reboot at quarterback. McCown back with the Jets.
This feels like a move to allow the Jets a lot more options in the draft. When I was writing up the Teddy Bridgewater piece, I said, don't be surprised, since he's only 25 years old and an injury risk, if they still sign McCown to go with him. McCown probably enters week one as a starter while they figure out who Teddy Bridgewater is.
Like, I like that trifecta compared to some others, but it's still a little confusing in New York and just with a new offensive coordinator to deal with Teddy Bridgewater, McCown, and a number 5 overall pick. That's
it's
a lot.
Just not what they geared if they up get Bridgewater, for from a PR angle.
I think when you sign Bridgewater to go with McCown, to me, Bridgewater looks like the quarterback of the future, and they don't have to go first-round quarterback.
And it should be stated, if they end up getting Bridgewater as well, and as expected, potentially take a quarterback, it looks like the end for Christian Hackenberg now officially if they add another quarterback after McCown before the draft. Moving on, Paul Richardson. He is a nice player coming out of the Seahawks, a nice downfield threat. He signs a deal with the Washington Redskins, a nice deal for him, 5 for $40 with 20 in guarantees, according to Mike Garafolo. Richardson was ranked number 41 in our top 101. Greg, didn't work out with Terrell Pryor last year. Now they're going to try with Richardson stretching that field.
Interesting offense with Alex Smith throwing to him and Josh Dotson. Paul Richardson could be the third Seattle receiver to do better away from the Seahawks than they were in Seattle. Golden Tate really has had a nice career leaving Seattle. Jermaine Kearse suddenly became more productive. I think Richardson has a lot of talent, and maybe they can untap it in Washington.
Moving on, the Buffalo Bills are making moves. First of all, Kyle Williams is sticking around. A 1-year, $6 million deal, originally selected in the 5th round of the 2006 NFL draft. He is a beloved figure in Western New York, so he comes back for another year. Last year was the first year he ever made the playoffs. You may remember that Mark heartwarming video after the Andy Dalton touchdown pass of Kyle Williams hugging his son. Nice little moment in Bills history, and he's back for at least one more year.
It was. I mean, I think they weren't sure they were going to get him back. Star Lutalele is also there as well. They've brought him on.
Lutalala.
However you say his name. And I don't know.
Deal.
I think that this is one of the free agency fun fits star to the Bills that Greg and I and our quarter bangers that we combined on to write an half banger. Yeah. Was we nailed it. We nailed it in that because of the Sean McDermott, Carolina Panthers, Buffalo
Forget
Bills
we.
Connection.
That was you.
I like to give team credit.
Start to la la.
It was all Mark.
5-year deal with the Bills. So they look pretty good up front.
If I'm a Bills fan, I'm a little annoyed about their team right now.
They have a lot else to do.
Let's see what they if they come out of it with a quarterback everybody's obsessed with, it will look a
They'll
lot
be
better
fine. That's fair.
In the draft. But we'll see. Danny Amendola. Ooh, Greg, it's over for Danny Playoff Amendola. He's expected to sign a deal with the Miami Dolphins. NFL Network's Dan Helly reports. What?
Oh, yeah. Breaking news.
Helly reports that Amendola is expected to sign with the Dolphins, per a source informed of the situation. Schragbaum over at GMF adds that the deal is for 2 years and worth $12 million, $8.25 million guaranteed. Amendola is 32 years old. Never a guy that was piling up stats in New England, but when the lights came on in January, that bro was nails. The Patriots just got worse.
You seem only slightly stunned that Dan Helly broke accurate news.
I'm also wondering how many listeners were able to translate what Schragbaum at GMF
right.
means.
Yeah,
Peter Schrager from Good Morning Football. Oh, yeah.
Anybody know what the Dolphins are doing with their team?
I know you're impressed.
Hey, they also got Albert Wilson.
Good thing they got rid of Jarvis and Landry and Ndamukong Suh to bring on board Albert Wilson and Danny Amendola, who doesn't show up until January when the Dolphins are sitting at home.
Don't. Don't get on Albert Wilson just because he has his name's Albert.
It's not exactly day one of free agency kind of.
Matt Harmon's one of his favorite players, Albert Wilson. I kind of like Albert Wilson, but that was one of the most surprising deals that he got $24 million over 3 years. And shout out to Danny Amendola and Erica Tamposi. Tough day for her. Her favorite player. Yeah. But what memories we had.
Albert.
13 playoff games over 700 yards for Danny Amendola. Always better in the playoffs than the regular season. I don't know if they win those two Super Bowls without Dave.
Well, here's
so thank you, and go get your money.
And this is going to seem like I'm trolling, but in no way should you be worried that when the pocket's collapsing in a big playoff game next year and Tommy Boy looks up, he's going to be looking for Kenny Britt to have separation, not Danny.
Good luck with that.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I mean, they're really going to be hurting with Julian Edelman, Gronkowski, Malcolm Mitchell, Brandon Cooks, and whoever else. I mean, come on.
Nailed. He was Danny playoff Amendola. Now he's gone.
Albert Wilson's the guy you sign as an undrafted free agent, not the guy you give $20 million to.
It's fair.
So you're okay?
Oh, for Danny?
Yeah. I don't know if Eric is okay, but... What's this? Oh, no.
Yeah, it was the drop you were manically calling for the last minute. We've been waiting for it.
Why are the inhabitants so pleased with themselves?
Shut up, Greg.
They are known as the people of the Zolak. Their loutish behavior is indigenous to the region.
I see. I command you to destroy them all.
As you wish, Lord. Lord?
Yes.
Great work.
How about them apples?
I don't get your ref.
Goodwill Hunting?
Oh, okay. Yep. Ha 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 ha. Ha ha.
This is comedy.
Now destroy them.
No, I get it.
As you wish, Lord.
Drops are...
It does feel like the end of an era. I know Erica has sent out a number of the, you know, the wine drinking gifts, and so she is down. But a lot of her into Amendola-ness was based on him being hot, and he's still hot. He'll be in Miami. He'll have
a
tan year round.
That's a great point.
I didn't really think
that doesn't really change.
So there you go. The Dolphins add some weapons with Jarvis Landry out the door. Let's see if it works out for him. And Trey Burton, who of course was involved with the immortal, not quite helmet catch immortal in terms of known quantity, but the Philly special.
What if it was equally immortal? Would that count?
I think he said better, didn't you? More.
I'll have to go back. Look,
like you said, more.
If it were equally, impactful.
If the language was equal,
I'm sure it would go my way.
Trey Burton is a young and upcoming tight end. He signs with the Bears, so they add another weapon there. Not a bad deal, Greg. Right? I don't know the money. Let's see.
It's 3 for $24. Yeah, it was part of that whole. He's their Travis Kelce in theory. I mean, he's not going to be Travis Kelce. But we like Trey
a
Burton.
A move that's, tight end?
That's why we...
more of an H-back.
Yeah. We talked about him a little bit ago. Let's get current, and let's get some more breaking news.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. Bashaud Breeland is signing with the Carolina Panthers, our top 20 cornerback, top 20 overall player on this list, and one of our highest-ranked quarterback. 3 years, $24 million, $11 million in guarantees, according to Mike Garofolo.
I like that move.
Well, they just traded a cornerback, so.
You can tell Dave Gettleman is no longer running this team with the trade that they made, sending Worley away, with giving up a lot of money for a cornerback like this in Breeland. But I do like the move. I think he's got a high ceiling.
Greg is all in on Marty Herney.
Malcolm Butler's still waiting to get paid. As of
a present. Target for your Jets, potentially.
Malcolm Butler and Deion Lewis are the types of free agent stories that I'm always a little worried about. Whenever you read those stories that there are 8 teams interested in Deion Lewis, like that's always a sign that actually he's not getting as much interest maybe as they were hoping.
Because he would have signed by now.
And finally, in
8
the news,
teams. What is 8 going to do for you?
The Super Bowl champions, the Philadelphia Eagles. Wow, they keep on adding to that defensive line. Haloti Ngata. Nagata. No, it's nada. See, the spelling would throw you off, but it's nada. Right?
You're dead on.
1-year deal. 34 years old now. but obviously a nice rotational player that they can add to the mix, gives them a little bit more depth, and the end of an era at the tight end position for the Eagles. Trey Burton left. That's not much of an end of an era. 4 year. And then he moved on. It's typical football stuff. But Brent Celek was a tight end there for 11 years, and he never missed a game, and he got old, though. He's we talked about that earlier in the show, how time waits for no one. 33 years old, and after winning a Super Bowl, nice way to go out, a great career, Brent Celek with Philly. They cut him, so Celek is out the door in Philly after 11 years.
Cincinnati boy, maybe he'll go close out his career with the Bengals.
Said he wants to keep playing. I'm looking forward to this new Eagles defense that they revolutionize offense, but next year they revolutionize defense. Just 11 defensive linemen on the field at once. What are you gonna do to that,
Lindsay?
Right over their heads.
Before we go, let's get Erica Temposi on the phone and see how she's doing now that Danny Amendola is gone. Because no joke, we didn't make light of it at the time because she works so hard and we love Erica, but. When we went to record our post-Super Bowl show in Minnesota, Erica was sobbing. That's how emotional Erica gets when talking about her beloved Patriots. So what we're going to do now is get Erica on the phone, and hopefully maybe she'll be crying. That's what I'm going for here.
Hello?
Hey, Erica. Dan Hansesley around the NFL podcast. How you doing?
Who's this?
Dan Hansis, around the NFL podcast, very popular.
Oh, never
pro
heard
football
you guys.
Podcast.
I find it weird. Dan introduces himself to you every time he sees you as Dan Hansis from the Around the NFL podcast.
I know, every single time.
Erica, call you the loose cannon, but I don't think you're going to be wiling out, as the kids say, you millennials, today, because Danny Playoff Amendola is no longer a member of the Patriots. You're very emotional, I imagine, right now. Take us through your thought process.
I mean, okay. So, as you liked on Twitter within 20 seconds, so
yes.
I know you know, uh-huh. Eddie took a picture of me at my desk crying.
Eddie Murphy, Eddie Spaghetti.
Yeah.
Yeah. Producer here.
Oh, my God, this music. this is tough. Okay, so he's getting to that point, like coming off one of his best seasons, and this is the last time he'll be able to make a contract like that before the end of his career. So
right.
I'm happy for him in that sense, and he's in Miami, which is great.
A lot of women in Miami, huh?
Yeah.
Hello.
I mean, we did a really good job of managing him and keeping him healthy until playoffs.
We. Huh?
I don't know if the Dolphins can do that. Yes.
You and Alex Guerrero?
Yeah, I liked your contributions in keeping him healthy, Erica.
Thank you. I do what I can. I'm just really sad.
Yeah, because you're never, think about this, you'll never, ever watch a Patriots game and have that gorgeous hunk pulling in catches when it matters most for the Patriots. It's really, being a Patriots fan will really never be the same. Is that fair to say?
Do you have a soul?
I mean, you still have Julian Edelman, Erica, and I do have a question because I thought that we asked this before, that
he's the rich man's Danny Amendola.
Sure, and like a large part of your into Danny Amendola scenario had to do with like his hotness factor, and he's still like ragingly hot in Miami.
Okay, he's
perhaps
gonna be hot in Miami, but I can't look at him the same. Like, I can't. Mm. Like, I'm very – I understand that he needed to take – you know, he couldn't keep taking pay cut after pay cut. But he's leaving the Patriots as a fan favorite. I hate him. I'm really upset now.
I
want my space from him. Edelman can come back, which he is going to come back. Is he going to be right out the gate as strong as we need? And if he goes down, like, who's our backup? I'm like kind of in panic.
Sounds like
right
Erica
now.
Thinks the Patriots sort of mismanaged this.
Erica, just this should make you feel better. You root for the team that signs Wes Welker away from Miami in his mid-20s. Dolphins fans root for the team that signs Amendola away from the Patriots in his mid-30s. That's the right team.
Yeah.
They're not just transactions, Greg. These are people and a man that Erica had fallen in love with, and now, you know, he's going to get tanned down in Miami. He's going to actually get hotter if you're into a dude with a bit of a tan. Let's just put it that way. Let's just call a spade
it's
a spade.
It's out there.
You also root for a team that just cost itself a Super Bowl for benching its best cornerback.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yep. My life kind of sucks.
Well, that's not true. Erica, thank you.
Is that what you wanted to hear, Dan?
Yeah, kind of, actually. But then once you said it, I felt a little, yeah, I do have a soul, because I didn't want to hear that from you.
Yeah, no, I'm very sad. He's been a major part of my football fandom, and I've always been Team Dola, and he's always been so for the Patriots, even though he takes pay cut after pay cut. You know, he was
a
team player. And
we got it, Erica.
Now I'm just...
We got it.
Yeah, thanks.
You're going to miss him. All right.
Well, yeah, I'm very sad.
Okay. Erica Tamposi, very upset about Danny Amendola's exit. Hang in there, Erica. We'll see you around soon.
Thanks, guys.
There she goes. And we got to go. You want to just throw that out there, Greg, real quick?
Little breaking news to end the show here. Jaguars not done at receiver, signing former Colts wideout Dante Moncrief.
Ouch, Ravens wanted him.
Instead of going Robinson, you bring back Moncrief and Lee. There's a lot going on with the Jaguars.
Ravens very respectfully waiting until Wednesday to transact with any players or discuss anything having to do with
building. Hey, you got
to
play by the rules.
There you go.
All right. We will be back tomorrow, Wednesday, later in the day to go over the official start of free agency. But, yeah, no days off here. We needed to get in here and give you the update on the league. So there it is. Thank you to everyone for listening. This is Dan Hansis signing off for Quiet Storm, the mailman, the old boss, Lindsay Bolton, behind the glass. Oh, boy. Tamper, baby. Till Wednesday.